Dr. Hilary Lumano, welcome to Amigoscopia.
Thank you very much.
Our first question is, where is Zambia and what is the prevalence rate for HIV infection?
Zambia is in Africa, in the southern part of Africa. It is basically a landlocked country. For those people who don't know where Zambia is, it's close to South Africa. So if you look at South Africa and go up, proceeding north, Zambia will be soon after Zimbabwe. We're basically landlocked and we're a developing country. The prevalence rates for HIV stand at 13.2%. This is according to the UNAIDS survey that was done in 2010.
And as regards the qualitative and quantitative PCR, early infant diagnosis and viral loads, it's the title of the symposium you'll be chairing. What prompted you to become up with this topic?
One of the things that prompted me to come up with this topic is basically because for a very long time, HIV has focused, around adult ART. And what has happened as a consequence is that the children who are born from HIV-infected mothers, were not sort of like given as much attention. We're not given as much attention as they should have been. What did happen was that there was a crisis, and a lot of the children were dying before the age of two. And with time, attention shifted and went to the to children. And over the past 10 years, steadily it's been improving. So I wanted to have a look at what other countries are doing and what Zambia is doing in making sure that this particular area is attended to, and mortality and morbidity is reduced as much as possible.
How are laboratories contributing to the prevention of mother-to-child transmission?
Okay, the laboratories in Zambia, and I think in Africa, the way they're contributing to the prevention of mother-to-child transmission is by providing diagnosis that points to whether a baby born from an HIV-infected mother has acquired the infection or not. So what happens in the normal sense is when a mother is diagnosed HIV positive, an expecting mother is diagnosed HIV positive, she'll be put on the appropriate treatment, first of all, to support her own health and also to prevent her from passing the infection to the child. So the way the lab comes in is when the child is born, there are specific tests that can be done to determine whether the baby has been born with the infection or not. And this is where the laboratory comes in, because we then provide dry blood spot testing via molecular methods. Why are we going to a molecular method is because for the first 6 weeks of life, the baby still has the maternal antibodies. So when we do a test, a conventional simple HIV test, if the obviously the mother was positive, the result for the baby will come out positive. So we have to find an alternative way of determining whether the baby is positive or not. And the alternative, more scientific way is using dry blood spot testing via molecular methods. And so that's where laboratories, PCR laboratories, polymerase chain reaction laboratories come into being, and that's the role that we play as labs in Africa. And so that's a bit of a backdrop on what we are doing here.
How quickly are results able to reach caregivers for prompt and timely interventions for infected mothers? That is to say, turnaround time.
Yeah, that's a good question because, you see, these molecular labs in Africa are not a common feature. We don't have them everywhere. What we must note is that the labs are very expensive to set up. They require a high level of training, and the infrastructure that is needed to put up a lab of this nature is also not like the ordinary lab. So the labs are in the current setting are only in three places in the country. Now, what you must understand about Zambia is that it's 752,000 square kilometers. It's quite a big country. And right now, there are only three laboratories providing this testing. So what it means is that samples will be collected from sites that are like 600-700 kilometers away and are sent to the nearest PCR lab where this testing can take place. So there'll be an expecting mother in one remote part of the country who will access health services, have the blood spot, the dry blood spots collected from the baby born from an HIV positive mother, and then the sample will then be couriered to a provincial center right up to the lab. Now, the turnaround time, how long does this take? Sometimes it may take up to 3 weeks or a month for the sample to reach the lab. And then for the lab to do its testing and send it back may take like another 7 days. This is all dependent on how well the transport mechanisms are working, and it's not the same throughout in the whole of Zambia. So some parts of the country will take longer than in other parts of the country. And so the turnaround time becomes not a standard thing. So it will vary from maybe 1 week to 3 months. And sometimes in a particular case, maybe the babies would have lost their lives or they've gone into complications because of the delay in receiving the results. So we're currently, the Zambian government, working with partners, are trying to work out mechanisms to reduce on this turnaround time so that the caregivers who are attending to the mothers with the infected children can provide interventions in a timely manner. And basically, that's what my presentation is going to focus on, what kind of interventions we have, sort of like tried to introduce, how partners in Zambia are working with the government of the Republic of Zambia in trying to reduce this turnaround time so that children can receive interventions as quickly as possible, and so that we can even reduce on the mortality rates.
And why was there a gap between the start of HIV EID and adult ART?
Yeah, like I said earlier, because adult ART was more, the impact of adult ART was more noticeable because it took a toll on the general productivity of the workforce in Zambia. So there was a lot of attention given to how we could restore productivity in the Zambian masses who were infected. So at the time, even those agents working for WHO and for CDC, for the ministries of health and various other partners, concentrated more on the adults, concentrated more on the productive age group. It was only later on when children were being born from infected mothers that we realized that this is the next generation that is going to replace the older generation that also needs to be taken care of. So, you know, right now there seems to be a balance now. The balance is being achieved. A lot of attention is being given to children, and the same amount of attention, I believe, is also being given to adult ART.
And where is Africa in determining where they are with HIV viral load testing, as many African countries consider migrating away from CD4 testing?
Right now, Africa is, well, let me speak for Zambia. Zambia is right now considering moving away from CD4 testing, but they're not going to abandon CD4 testing completely. What they are going to do is to transition away from it slowly, because the way the reasoning has come out is that CD4 testing is not the best testing for monitoring patients who are HIV infected. The viral load seems to provide a much better picture. So the government of the Republic of Zambia, what it has done is that it has introduced PCR testing for viral load in the provincial centers. So Zambia has like 10 provincial centers where these pieces of technology have been placed. The testing hasn't yet started. It hasn't yet started, but it is in plan. Slowly, we will migrate away from using CD4 testing for monitoring patients who are on treatment, and we will sort of like concentrate more on viral load testing, which is a better marker for demonstrating progression of HIV infection. Other African countries are doing the same. They are also migrating away from CD4 testing and concentrating more on viral load. That's not to say that we will not be doing CD4 testing at all. CD4 testing will, I believe, still be a good part of the whole management of HIV patients, but as a better tool, viral load testing will come in to sort of like add value to how patients will be managed.
Are HIV drug resistance assays still available in Africa, as there is a steady rise in the number of patients becoming resistant to ART?
Drug resistance is testing, for example, in the country that I come from, Zambia, is only being done by one center. And this is the Center for Infectious Disease Research in Zambia, in Lusaka. And it is very, very expensive. On the whole, patients that do come out drug resistant, you know, are not really tested, because this particular lab is quite expensive. It's quite expensive to do a drug resistance assay. So Zambia doesn't seem to have a well-established drug resistance laboratory, as it should. And going forward, what we are seeing is that the number of drug resistances are increasing, and we will need, you know, molecular techniques to help us in identifying what the resistance patterns are like, in order for us to address these resistances more holistically. So, you know, we're not at a very good position right now. Of course, clinically, the clinicians are changing drug regimens based on what they see. If a patient is put on one drug regimen and it doesn't work, they move them to the next, and they move them to the next. And this is in the absence of lab tests. They're doing it in the absence of lab tests. What we would like to see is these migrations from one set of drugs to another being accompanied by the appropriate lab testing to determine exactly what's happening. So we are looking forward to a situation where we will have drug resistance testing labs across the country to help us better manage and efficiently plan for what drugs we need as we go along.
And what could you tell us about quality management systems for PCR testing, particularly as it relates to ISO 15189 and accreditation?
Yeah, these PCR labs are generally like any other medical lab, and because of the nature of PCR labs and the results that are being produced from these labs, here in Africa we are working very hard to make sure that the labs adhere to ISO standards. ISO 15189 is like the current laboratory standard that defines what needs to be done to bring a lab to a certain quality level. So in Zambia, and I think in Kenya, one of the presentations that will come from Kenya, and I think from Uganda, we are concentrating on making sure that the labs meet international standards. So, for example, equipment management, facilities and safety, documents and records, we are adopting ISO 15189 standards, which have been translated into a WHO SLIPTA program. What I mean by SLIPTA program is the stepwise laboratory improvement process towards accreditation. So let me explain it more clearly. So the ISO 15189 has been adopted in a certain program, which I've just abbreviated SLIPTA, and SLIPTA is being used by African laboratories to sort of like facilitate for improvement, because it defines how to improve labs. So PCR labs as well are working towards attaining these ISO 15189 standards, bringing the labs up to an international reputable level, such that whatever tests come out of these labs, whatever results come out of these labs, are of a standard nature and can be reproduced in any other country in the world. So our labs are working towards reaching this kind of recognition and this kind of competence, if you like, this kind of skill level that will make the labs compare with any other. So the pursuit for accreditation is top on the agenda of labs in Zambia, labs in Uganda, Tanzania, and even Kenya. These are the countries that will be part of this symposium. So we're all pursuing this accreditation in order to make sure that whatever results we're producing are reliable, they are accurate, and they've been produced by competent staff. What we are also trying to say is that even if we receive the sample or a patient from Australia or from whichever part of the advanced world, we will be able to produce the same quality of a result as wherever it's being sent from. So the accreditation agenda for us is very critical. We are pursuing it quite enthusiastically. And the good thing is our governments, our ministries of health in our respective countries are supporting us with the help of partners such as CDC. We are making strides in making our labs achieve reputable standards.
And what do you hope this symposium will achieve for HIV PCR testing and viral loads for Africa?
Well, one of the things that I'm hoping it will achieve for us is, first of all, a better understanding, because sometimes out there, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what's happening in Africa. And then one of the things I'm looking forward to is partnering with other reputable organizations in, improvements. While, yes, we are working on some improvements, we would like to see if we can get more opportunities to partner. This might be in terms of capacity building, exchange of materials, exchange programs, even the writing of papers, research papers, and that kind of thing. We're looking forward to a situation where we can exchange ideas more, share experiences, and even benefit from technology. If there's technology out there that can be exploited to improve PCR testing in Africa, particularly as it focuses around early infant diagnosis, around viral load, if there's technology out there that can sort of like help in that kind of a situation, we are looking forward to that. Also, we are interested in understanding any point of care technologies, because PCR equipment or technologies are very, very expensive. When you set them up, it's these big, big, massive analyzers. But what we are looking forward to is seeing if there are any point of care analyzers that can probably do the same thing at a much, much cheaper price. So we're hoping that we can attract potential partners to come into the country, work with us, and make the whole scenario more bearable by providing easy, accessible, and affordable testing that reaches the grassroots in the quickest time. Because remember when I said the samples coming from 600 or 700 kilometers away might take 2 weeks. But if we find technologies that can are point of care, we can place some of this equipment far away, and you know, testing can be done by health personnel, and quicker interventions can be provided. So I'm looking forward to see if there are opportunities that Zambia and these other countries within the region can benefit from, and anything else that will add value to making, you know, the situation better will be welcome.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Lumanu. It's been a pleasure to listen to this interview.